I would like to have a little different service tonight. And is Pastor Mark Minicello here, I wonder? Okay, Pastor Mark, the way we can do it is we have our worship, we do the offering. Then we have a message, you know, that what I'm sharing now, I think, but maybe Pastor Shabelli, I'm not sure how we'll do it. And then we'll do, a microphone down here and ask some of the pastors to come up and pray while we worship. When we sing, we worship. So tonight is prayer and worship, but we'll bring it into the main service and then dismiss you at 7:40. And if you want to stay on, you know, stay in there. You know what I'm saying? Stay in there. If you want to pray and sing and so on, then you are welcome. So I do this because I feel that maybe, well, this is what we want to say. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Tom, down here in the second row, he means a lot to me. He means a lot to me. Yeah, he does. Look at chapter 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." Now, I don't know if I should hand you the microphone. I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. But do you know his testimony? You want to just stand for a second? Don't. Just turn around. Do you know his testimony? How many do not know what happened to him? Okay, just, I got to guide you in it because it's just a little bit. I'm sorry about that. No, demon in the world and living with guys, backslidden GGCA guys who went to our school, but living with them, and he knew these guys into all kinds of, you know, trouble, drugs, all stuff, whatever. He's going to tell you in a minute.
Okay.
But wait, let me finish it up. And he had demons attacking him. I mean, he felt he was going to hell. He drove here in the parking lot, I think, was it 7 in the morning?
7 in the morning. I didn't
7 know. In the morning, waiting for the church doors to open. Guys, he was in a lot of trouble. He felt it. He experienced it. And he knew this is where he had to come. He sat here, or it was in the back.
I was in the back, right by the door, in case I wanted to run.
And then, and it's his story, but I'm telling you, okay? I know, but we can't take a... But he sweating. And we met after the service. We went into the cafe. He told me his story. I mean, this is a couple of years ago. Okay.
Two and a half.
Okay.
Two and a half. Yeah, I was a atheist my whole life. I mean, I was really just in the world system, and you couldn't talk to me about Jesus without me just arguing evolution to you, because that's how you're trained, like outside by the world and movies and music. And I had a real disdain for Christianity. I would just be like, that's just, those stories happened like 2,000 years ago. How can you believe that somebody would walk on water? How could you believe that we didn't evolve from apes? Everybody says we did. I mean, it's evolution. It's like a fact. It's like 99%. It's a fact. And then I was living in Colorado, and I don't even know how to explain it. Like, God took the scales off my eyes, and I could see, like, Satan's deception, like, in action. I would, like, you can, it's like in movie. It's like how I got that way was by listening to the music and the movies and the TVs. And some of you younger or older people might know the band Red Hot Chili Peppers. Maybe not. I'm driving down the street one day, and this is the first drop that came into my head. They had a song where they're like, give it away, give it away, give it away, give it away now. I don't know if anyone remembers those lyrics. And a voice in my head was like, what do you think they're asking you to give away? And I said audibly, I was like, my soul. And I said it, and I was like, wow. It was like, and then as soon as I said that, like, I could just see, like, deception in the world, like in movies and music. You just, when you're not in this body, out there, you're constantly under attack for your mind. And once I heard that, it's like, then I could start to see it, like, you know, like in Ozzy Osbourne or Marilyn Manson, that's kind of obvious. But a lot of times, and to get, like, high up in the world system, you got to sell your soul to get there, you know? And celebrities, they come out and they tell you, you know, like, Google it. Katy Perry says, I sold my soul to Satan. Kanye West comes on stage, he says, I sold my soul to Satan. Mick Jagger says, I sold my soul to Satan to get there. And they become part of that deception. And then when I moved back to Maryland, every time I would go to sleep, I was just constantly bombarded with demonic dreams. I mean, I was in hell. Like, I was burning. I could feel the fire on me. It was intense, so much to the point where it's kind of hard to argue evolution with somebody when you're afraid to go to sleep at night. And it just kept getting, and I kept trying to fight it logically in my brain, but it just kept getting more intense and more intense. Till one night, it was so bad, I just woke up at like 3 a.m, like drenched in sweat, like just literally shaking, like just intense. And I was like, I gotta go to church. I don't know where, you know? And then I remembered I had friends who were members of this ministry way back in the day. And we would, you know, they would talk to me about Jesus and I'd argue with them about evolution. So I was like, wait a minute, I remember Greater Grace. Cause I always used to drive past that hill and be like, oh, that's where the crazy people live. That's where they go. And then I was like, I woke up and I just turned all the lights on in the apartment. And I was like, when does church start? I have no idea. I never came. So I drove here at 7. I'm like, that's a good time. And there was nobody out front. And I was like, okay, I'll wait. And then I waited in the truck for a couple, whatever. And then people started to show up. And I remember the first person, the bus pulled up and dropped Yafez off. And I asked him, I was like, hey, when does church start? They're like, 9:00. So I was like, okay, I'll wait a little longer. So then when the doors opened up, I came to walk in the front door. And as soon as I stepped into the threshold, it just like, boom, it hit me, just like tears, just intense, just started pouring out. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. These people are going to think I'm crazy. So I went back out. And I was like, tried to shake it off a little bit. Then I went to walk back in. And as soon as I stepped in again, just bam, just like uncontrollable weeping. And I was like, whoa, that's nuts. And I'm like, I'm not going in there. So I went to go walk back to the truck and get out of here. And I'm like, well, I don't know where I'm going because I'm not going back to that apartment. That crazy stuff is happening there. It was intense. So I was like, God, just let me walk in the building. Just let me walk in the door. And I walked in the door and I was okay. And I sat in the very back row right next to the door in case I wanted to run. And I'm like, well, I know that's a big place. There's like 1,000 people there. Nobody will recognize me. But then as soon as I walked in, everybody's like, hey, you're new. Welcome. And I'm like, there's a lot of people here. How can you tell? But I guess because most people don't come to church like just blubbering like intensely. So maybe I stuck out a little bit. And then they got to the part. I was like, you know, they asked any, I did the call and said, does anybody want to accept Jesus? And I was like, me. And then I kept coming back. And then every day for like 2 weeks, every time they said, do you want to accept Jesus? I kept raising my hand, me. And they're like, no, you're good. You're good. And then I remember because, I mean, when I say I knew nothing about the Bible, I didn't know when church started. I knew that some guy built a boat. And that was it. I remember I was in the back and Matt Hadley came and gave me a Bible. And Pastor Schaller said, turn to the book of Jeremiah. And I'm looking under the chair like, I don't have a book of Jeremiah. They just gave me a Bible. I don't know where it is. And the lady's like, no, sweetheart, look, it's in here. It's in here. It's like, and I'm like, oh yeah, the book of Jeremiah. I got you. So then I met Pastor Schaller and Pastor Grunwald in the cafeteria, and they're like, you know, what brings you into church? So I told them, and their eyes got really big, like, wow. And I'm like, no, I'm not making this up. I just want this to stop, you know, just make this crazy intense thing I'm going through. I just want it to go away. And they're like, well, go home and read the book of John and here I am 2.5 years later. I'm in Bible college now, and this is intimidating when you're looking this way. I might get better when I look this way.
You're doing good at it.
Oh, well, thank you. Sorry. I guess that's it. And everybody here is so great and so nice. Now I'm like, man, why did I waste so many years of my life waiting to come here? Because it's just, everybody's great. You know, I just love it here. And I think everybody's awesome. And I guess that's it.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, this is just what we want to say. So shall all of you be established, believe as prophets, okay, and you shall prosper. Verse 20. Verse 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as he went out before the army and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know, a lot has happened in the last 6 months, and we can take a night like tonight and just praise God. What's happened to Tom 2.5 years ago, and none of us really know what God is doing everywhere and in every life. But God is working. When God gives a message, I've found sometimes in my life, within a couple days, that message is on the line. Do I believe it or not? I'm tested. Maybe in a couple weeks, I'm tested, or I have opportunity to apply what I've heard. Like when Jesus went to Gethsemane, I'm sure he didn't feel too good about it. In one hand, he was burdened and felt the sorrow. But he was obedient, and he did what the Father wanted him to do. And I think that's a good, it's one of the things that we want to say tonight, that all of us are here because we have heard and believed, and we prosper. Go back to the previous verse. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall all of you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. This morning we had a piece in the message about, we had Jason Moore laying down here on the floor, and he's the bad influence in my life in the illustration, and I'm walking with God. I'm up here, I'm walking with God, and I try to pull Jason Moore up, but it's a lot easier for him to pull me down. You know, he can pull me down very easily, and I'm here trying to pull him up, which is a lot harder to do. And the meaning of that is that don't be unequally yoked. Meaning of that, not every relationship that we have with people is edifying. Not everything that we hear and see is going to encourage me. And I need to be able to say to that influence down there, sorry, I love you, but I can't hold hands with you. I have something that I'm doing. What I'm believing, I'm believing. I'm on a mission. I'm spirit-filled. I'm thinking with God. Now, every conversation I have with people, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, that not everything, like, what does he say? He says babbling and questions. Let me get it here. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. What a good word that is. So I'm in the church and I hear and I'm being instructed little by little and the Spirit speaks to us. And a foolish and unlearned question, I avoid it. Knowing they gender strifes. Flee youthful lusts. Grow up and go to Gethsemane. I don't want to go to Gethsemane. I don't feel peace about going to Gethsemane. It's not in my heart to go to Gethsemane. But the Father led Jesus to Gethsemane. And God the Father leads the believer in a deeper life. And we are tested on it. And I think through the years that we can say, like in a way, we stop and we think, wow, I have a lot to be thankful for. That's what I want to say. Jehoshaphat sent out the singers. Go to the verse 21, please. 2 Chronicles 20, 21. Coffee break. You see, that's how they're listening up there. Okay, there it's coming. Okay, I'll read it. I got to find it, though, again. Did it come up? Okay. And when he consulted, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. I would like to do that tonight in our service. Maybe we sit, stand, but we have the leaders and the singing. And I just want to kind of put the things on pause in a way and say, God, you did this to Tom Reinhart. And many names we could mention. And you sent us to Poland. And we had Uricon. And we had a marriage getaway, which was phenomenal, with Pastor Doug Womble. And you've led people off the street into our assembly. And you've answered prayers in many ways. People have been healed or are still alive because of our prayers. We're praying for Pastor Luke Kallenbeck, for Rennie Kieran, for Steve Murillo, and others, brothers and sisters in our midst. And we want to kind of put the brake on and just say to God, God, wait a minute. We're not moving too fast. We just want to say, you have taught us. We have practiced it. With Gethsemane, I don't like it, but I go to Gethsemane in your will. I go to the cross, and I don't like it, but I go to the cross. And 3 days later, I've got this anointing and this power in my life because I obeyed God. Wow. I obeyed God. I don't like it, but I obeyed God. You know how as believers we say, you know, I don't have peace about that. Well, I don't know. Did Jesus have peace when he went to the cross? I mean, yes. On the other hand, many times in your life, my life, I don't have peace about it. I might not like it. I don't have really a lot of joy. The point isn't, do I have peace about it? The point is it right? Is it God's will? Do I live by faith in what God has said? Am I embracing it? And then what happens? His visitation. His presence, praise, the singers come out. You know, the singers are there. And they're saying, our army is a mighty army. And there is no nation on earth that can run over us if we are prospering by obeying what the prophets said. For us, we are walking in the spirit of what God is saying to our hearts. Let me say another thing. I don't want you to listen to the pulpit with a legalistic spirit. I don't want you to be condemned by things that are said. I don't want you to be introspective about your life. I want you to enjoy your life in Christ and be filled with peace and joy and praise and thanksgiving. The theme of our convention this year is rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's kind of like my new thing in my heart. Rejoicing, being goofy even. Rejoicing, having a good time all the time. Being very happy in the spiritual meaning, blessed abundantly because of the Almighty God that walks with you day and night and loves you continually. And you know, there's nothing you could do tonight that would cause God to love you more than He has loved you all your life, because the love He has for you is infinite, unconditional, guaranteed through His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God, my sins are forgiven. Praise God, my name is in the book of life. Wow, amazing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Whoa, I feel like dancing. Praise you, God. Obey the prophets, you will prosper. You step back and say, wow, how did that happen? I don't know, it just did. I started doing things, I didn't necessarily like them, but I did them because it was God's will. As I did God's will, I found it to be a blessing. We said this morning, I wish I could have a guy lying down there. Brian, you want to do it? Okay. We had a guy, we said this morning, there's a woman with a boyfriend. Boyfriend's not a believer. And she says, oh, I'm going to make him a believer. What happened? He stay there. Thank you. I got to walk away. I don't know, right? He's my boyfriend. I sleep with him. He's my boyfriend. I come to Greater Grace Church. I listen to the message. I'm with my boyfriend. I sleep with my boyfriend. But I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. It's okay. So now, if you were, what does that mean? Go to the verse before, please. If there we go. Come on. Chapter 20. Oh, what does it say? No, before. Yeah. Is that it? Oh, there it is, that one. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall all of you be saved. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. The prophet says, no idols, no boyfriends or girlfriends that you sleep with. None of that stuff going on. Obey God. I don't feel led. I don't feel led to break up with my boyfriend. Then you have your boyfriend. But do you have God? You got your boyfriend, but do you have the presence of God? Do you have the blessing of God? Do you have Almighty God in your life? I got my boyfriend. Well, that's what you got. You got your boyfriend. And so God says, okay, whenever you're ready, I'm ready to do business with you. I'm ready to do business with you. If you get serious with me, I'll get serious with you. Come on. I don't feel led. It's like I could care less about it, you and me feeling led. It's hard. It's Gethsemane. It's obedience. It's God. Obedience. It's obedience. It's faith. It's God Almighty. Hallelujah. Don't you want to have a real God that doesn't fool around and says, come on, test me. I am Almighty God. Go ahead, check it out. See, and see who I am, and I will cause you to prosper. I will be with you. You will prosper. You'll end up singing, praising, believing, being persuaded. The problem with the churches today is that thousands, if not millions, of people get away with sin. and they don't find God. So they have a form of Christianity, but there's no power. They have a message about Jesus will make you rich, or Jesus will make you comfortable, or Jesus loves you so much and you can do anything you want to because his love is so great. But there is no righteousness, there is no power, there is no authority, and in my life I'm living a double standard. I'm talking about Jesus at the same time I'm living in a sinful life. And I don't know why I have the right to say these things, because I am a guilty man, except for the fact I'm called to do it. I also have lived it. I have walked away. I have walked away from stuff that was very important to me and very precious. My family, my mom and dad, my sisters and brothers, my wife and my children, when it came to the calling to go to the mission field, and my education and many other things, just like you and all of us have had to deal with before God. And when God said, come on, trust me, not everybody is to live the same way. Thank you, Brian. You're looking good. No, you're looking over the edge wondering, can I go now? Okay, you can go. Hey, not everybody's to live like me. Not everybody's to live like this person or that person. But you must have something going on like this where you are obedient to God and it hurts you. It's hard to do it. You're obedient to God because it costs something. You're paying a price. You're obedient to God with regards to your past, your present, and your future. You're obedient to God, and God visits you by the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus was baptized, he went down in the river, and when he came up, what happened? Holy Spirit came down on him, and he heard a voice saying, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am. Because the Son of God was obedient, and the Son of God heard their voices, did the other people too. It's beautiful. Have you heard the voice from God saying, you are accepted in the Beloved? Have you heard the voice of God say, you are my child? Have you heard the voice of God say, by the Holy Spirit, you are highly favored in my eyes, like he said about Daniel? Or you are the disciple that Jesus loved, like he said about John? God does have that love for you and I. And there are times when we have this great assurance that it is so. And this experience of his holiness in our lives. Amen.